As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hello and welcome to a late night edition of the Warriors All 82 podcast. After what is, probably I'd say top five most memorable game probably of the Warriors dynasty era, if you even still consider this, I guess, an extension of the dynasty. I'd ask you two, because, there was some talk post game like best Steph finals game ever. I would probably categorize this as the signature game of Steph Curry's career. I mean, you guys you've covered him longer than I have. Can you think of another one that considering stakes, moment, even the little foot injury that happened beforehand, the stage of his career, 34, the state of his team, the team he's playing against, down 2-1. They don't win the finals if they lose tonight. He goes for 43, 10 rebounds also. Is there a better or a more signature Steph Curry game in his entire career?
Game probably, but finals moment probably not. Like,
but doesn't that? I mean, isn't that part of it? Yeah, stakes, no, arena.
I understand all that, but I just think Marcus and I have seen like the beginning of Curry was so huge. Was such a revelation that I think we still see that. I think the Oklahoma City game where he shoots shot just inside the half court, which wasn't a finals game, wasn't even a playoff game, but that just seems to me to resonate. This was his greatest playoff game, I think. And he's had a lot of great ones. I mean, I go back to the Denver series in his first, first playoff run. He was incredible. And he was injured. And he was making shots against everything. But this was his greatest, playoff game. And, maybe his most, because of the age, because of the moment, because they're down 2-1, because Boston's so good and the Warriors are an aging situation, maybe the most meaningful. I would say some other games were better, just better. But this one is maybe the one that hits the heart the hardest and makes you go, wow, he still got it in him. And that, I think the revelation always feels bigger than he still got it, but this is way, way up there. And I would say it's his greatest playoff performance.
I've listed a few of them. I still think, like game 5, 2015, where he gets 17 points in the fourth quarter. Like, he's going toe-to-toe with LeBron in a 2-2 series. And his first time doing it, all of this happens because of that. I mean, game 7 against Oklahoma City, yeah. I know it was the West Finals, but, that's a huge performance. Because remember, that was still the 73-9 team, and that kept them alive, even though they would eventually lose. But I do believe in the mold that NBA fandom likes their huge games. This one fit that, right? He was the clear dominant player. He got the 40 number matters, right? I think it's better than 38, I think
Clay always says that.
Yeah, the 10 rebounds, You could say now, he had 43 and 10 in Boston. It fits that narrative better. It fits the LeBron mode of things, but I think this is – it will be considered one of his best. But I think when you throw in all the context of that, he's 34, that this defense is incredibly tough and that the guys around him aren't playing that well.
He's being guarded by the Defensive Player of the Year in this series.
It's not like It's not like they're loosing things up for him, right? So he's doing this, like, kind of begging for some help from someone. Like, also, I forgot about this. I mean, it was a loss, but he dropped 47 in the finals against a Boxing One. Still one of the most crazy things we've ever seen. But I do think, you know what this is? This is the one where, like, it's significant because you can't say he hasn't done it, right? You can't say he wasn't the best player on the floor. You can no longer ever say that about him because he did it in Boston against the best defense in the league and without, like, another player. Like, I thought he was great in Game 6 in 2016, but obviously Klay stole that show, right? So I think in this situation, you're looking at Klay and it's like, you're looking at Jordan Poole, it's like, you know.
Well, we'll get Looney was great.
Well, to say, this is like the Jordan big three-point gusher he had against Portland on the game one or game two of that one or whatever finals game. It was great and might have been his highest point total. I don't know. But it wasn't like there's been some other games where you go as he built it up. But this was the one, and people talk about that game all the time. We'll talk about this Steph game forever. I think the build-up. Is for Marcus and I, having lived through a lot of it, maybe felt bigger than just the game. If it was Steph emerging, but this was just an awesome, incredible, you know, best game in the playoffs. I mean, there's some 43s out there, 46s.
Jimmy Butler in this building, game six. But, you know, part of the reason why that Jimmy Butler one doesn't feel as significant as Miami goes on to lose the series. And to me, like, this Steph Curry game, depending on if they win the series or if they lose the series, it takes on a different life. Because if they do win the series, they won the title because of this performance. Whereas if they lose the series...
I now think they're going to win the series. I mean, I thought they were going to win the series to start.
How is this any different than you scripted it out from the beginning?
Yeah, it is. But just the way this worked... Like,
you scripted this out from the beginning?
I did. But, man, it just feels different the way this happened. And then they, you know...
What did you say?
Six. Warriors in six, come back 2-2. They win in six. But when they go down 2-1, you're like going, I don't know. I don't change my prediction, but like now I feel like they're going to win this series. I don't know if it's going to be 6 or 7, but that it's just like Steph Curry magic and that internal toughness. They can absorb Draymond having three of his worst games in the playoffs ever. You know, he had a good game too, but like then they win the game in Boston and they pull him. I mean, we're going to talk about that too, but this is the sign of what they are. They just figure stuff out. They get a transcendent performance out of Steph, and they beat a really good team on the road when they knew they were saying it afterward. Like, they lose this game, they lose the series. That's on the brink. They do all this other stuff, and they get that game out of Steph. They're gonna win the series.
Yeah, so we should have a large segment, obviously, on the Draymond Green situation, I think, in general, not just the benching, but his play. But, you know, I maybe save that for a little later in the podcast because, I mean, obviously, there's other components of this win. I wrote about three of them. I mean, Looney, Wiggins, Poole. Looney doesn't start. You know, it's kind of weird. It's like almost a counterintuitive adjustment from Kerr where he's going into from game 3 to 4 saying, I'm benching Looney to start the game, but I'm also planning to play him more. He said it was a mistake. He only played him 17 minutes, 0 fourth quarter minutes for Kevon Looney in game 3. They get killed on the glass. They get killed in second chance points. He brings Looney in mid-first quarter. By the way, the starting lineup change, it's supposed to help with the spacing. They got killed on the glass early. Robert Williams gets 2 early offensive rebounds. They have 2 rebounds total as a team in the first 5 minutes. Put Looney in. He has 4 rebounds in the first 2 minutes, including one of those, you know, rebound kickouts. Wiggins hits a 3. Part of the reason Draymond Green was benched and they're comfortable with it, and this is the side of the story they were trying to tell post-game, was Kevon Looney is playing so well that it's kind of leading to that decision. They're trying to, you know, we can get to Draymond's poor play, but Looney playing this well has allowed them to go away from Draymond Green and feel fine. And you're watching the game feeling fine because, like, Kevon Looney is good. How many times do we have to say it on this podcast? But Kevon Looney's been good.
He and Wiggins are the best plus-minus in the game, by the way. Obviously, Steph was the story, but those two guys played tremendously. It's because it's hard to play Looney and Draymond together, right? That's what's going to come against this defense, this switchable defense. And I talked to Kerr afterwards because we just can't run our normal put Draymond at the top and have him swing the ball. Like, that doesn't work against this switching defense. So that changes the dynamics of what they can do. You have to split up Draymond and Looney more, especially at the start of the game. And that means sometimes you're going to pick Looney over Draymond. Like, that's what happened.
He has been a better player in this series.
It's a better group when Looney's out there against this team so far. Now, Draymond's probably going to have a great game down the road. They can't just discard Draymond.
No.
He's going to play 33 minutes. He played 33 tonight. But the focus can change a little bit. You know, the ideas, and they are literally not playing him. They are not playing him on defense. That is really hard for the offense. We saw he comes out, what are they, 11-4 run in the fourth quarter. That's what gets them from down to up, and they stayed up. Draymond came in, as we talked, I wrote about this in my column, and, you know, goes offense, defense, and has some great moments on both sides. You know, rebounding the ball, pressuring the shooters. Horford's wild miss on three, which could have tied the game. He misses. Warriors get the rebound. Draymond in another play is transitioning, gets the pass to Steph. Perfect pass. Boom. Pocket three. Put him up six. Like, there's things that he did, and it's to his credit. He was pissed off when they took. I was watching. He was pissed. I was like, what is going on? He was like, I thought he was like going to walk out of the arena. He was that mad. Walks to the back, kind of the alley, the row, and kind of sits down at the very end when he's mad. Kept his head in it. And then when they went offense, defense, he played great. Got mad every time he came out again and went to the end of the bench, but came back in and played well. That's what you have to ask out of a leader who was upset about it. But they gained from that. They absolutely gained from Kerr doing that and from Draymond delivering and from Looney delivering for sure. And Poole, by the way, because Poole's the other one who has to deliver when they're kind of pulling Draymond out, and he did too.
Yeah. Looney is the ultimate safety blanket. Like, and what he's shown for what, three series now, is that if Draymond's not playing well, you can sit him down. And they can go four guards and Looney. Like, they can do that. And that's something that we didn't think they would have. We didn't think they would be able to do that. But he's so good rebounding at this point, even against Robert Williams, right? Like, he's such a presence in there. And I think the game changer is the finishing. Like, the game changer is he's the only guy on the team who knows how to pump fake. Like, he goes in there, Robert Williams will swat everything. Looney gets in there, give him a little nod, lets him fly, gets the bucket. Like, I think it works to his advantage that he knows he can't jump. To me, that's your safety valve. If Draymond's not playing well, you got a back door, which means you only have to play Draymond if he's playing well, right? Which, I mean, that is a level of depth and strength in numbers. They never had that.
Not in the front court.
That's what I'm saying, not in the front court.
Well, the one thing I would argue, when you could do that with Durant, you know what I mean? Like, you go Durant big. Yeah, you
so much better than everybody.
Like, but they never had this decision. Like, they never had, what do we do if Draymond's not? Like, they could still play him.
Well,
and he didn't play like this in those years.
That's the other thing, and I mean, we can get to it, but that's still a problem.
No question.
Like, I thought, like, this setup, just like 1-2 setup, 3-4 setup, is like, Draymond's going to respond tonight. I was surprised that he didn't play well tonight, and that to me it's the bigger concern. Like, you know, the Looney safety valve, it's all great, but like, to win this series 2 out of the next 3, like, they can't have Draymond play like this.
I mean, I feel like, I mean, it's very obvious once he starts passing up layups, like, that's done, right? He's got to at least finish at the rim, or at least go up. I don't care if you go 0-for-10, you got to go up. The moment you start kicking them out, You're not playable on offense, and you're killing Steph. They're doing this thing where they're running, they're getting Draymond off the pick and roll, but they're putting Marcus Smart on Draymond, so he just inches over and gets into the pick and roll anyway. So it's basically 3-on-2 with the defense. Yeah. So, like, there was one when Draymond did come back in the fourth, they put him in the left corner, and Marcus Smart leaves Draymond and is all the way on the other side of the court, ends up forcing a jump ball on Looney with 1 second left. Because they're just like, whatever. And if he's not even a threat to slash and finish that, like, he's really crippling the offense. They got to take him out. But I do feel like we said this from the beginning, and it's amazing they got him this far. They did not get a big. They did not get rim protection. And they banked on more Draymond at center than ever before with no safety valve. I mean, ended up Kevon Looney being a safety valve.
Kevon Looney saved them. He saved them in so many ways.
No question.
Well, they were banking on James Wiseman.
Yeah.
Still.
I mean, that was a weird bank, though, right? Like, that was like you know, they didn't sign anybody, and they basically said, we're going to ride with Draymond. And he's 32 years old, and he got you through the West. So I kind of get it. Like, he's not look good. This is OKC. right? This is that matchup where everybody's more athletic, everybody's longer, and it's tough for him to figure out. But, like, this was the risk when you didn't get a big man. And you said Draymond is going to be our center. And it finally caught up to him. I do feel like it shouldn't be lost that Draymond got you through the West, right? Like, but this is just a bad matchup. It's a bad matchup.
Yeah, so compared it to the OKC series, Steve Kerr to me afterwards. Like, this is like that series, he said. Like, now they figured it out in that one, switched the matchups, and Draymond was a lot younger, and I think he had some different facets that he doesn't have right now. Like that one, he had that runner like 2 feet from the rim, and he shot it like 1 foot.
Well, that's the season he shot 38% from three that season.
Yeah. This is not that player, and he still has his strengths. We're not, you know, certainly they're not going to bench him. They're going to start him. But as you look at this series, and I think you can hint about what down the road in the next few years. He's gonna lose some minutes. Like this is not great, and especially against but there's a lot of athletic teams, right? I mean, there's not every team's athletic, but there's athletic teams like that. One of them is Memphis. They're young. This is an interesting way they're gonna have to figure this. But you know, they'll have to really figure it out for the next two games, next three games, however many they are. But it's play Draymond, as Marcus said, play Draymond if he's playing well, and if he's not, They're going to go to other things, and they have them. They got Otto Porter. They got Looney. I thought they might try Kuminga tonight. They did not, but they got some things they could put in there. Gary Payton.
How small they went that one
time. Payton at the power forward. Jeez. And they got hit on it, but they also scored some points. This is a mix and match. Like I said, you know, people criticize Steve Kerr, like they don't see him coaching. This was coaching tonight. Like that fourth quarter was coaching. It's like it's college basketball coaching. It's timeout, put new guys in, timeout, new guys in. And it was risky because if it blows up in his face, what do they do? If they lose like this, what do they do in the next game?
Well, not only that, like to me, you know, now that they won this game, the Draymond benching, I guess you want to call it, can be painted like positively, like this is a veteran handling it well. This is, you know, like you said, he came in and still did make some plays down the stretch in the offense, defense, and like if they lose tonight, not only are they down 3-1, but like what does Draymond think if like that backfires
might
on them?
Lose Draymond for the series, like you know, his head might be somewhere else, but he stayed in it. He just stayed in it this time. Again, I was doubting that. I was because I had that seat where I could watch him, and he was really mad, like really mad, wandering around, you know, like they're about ready to get started again. He's wandering around in the corner, like, what's he going to be like? Is he out for the rest of the game? Is that what he's been told? Then he went back in and he played well. But if they lose this game, whew, I mean, he would continue to play, but mentally it would be tough for he and Steve to get back on the same page right away. Maybe they would eventually, but it would be tough.
Yeah. So remember – and this is kind of like late regular season, even beginning of the playoffs, as Jordan Poole is having that awesome series against Denver and Steph's coming off the bench. And we always knew, hey, there's a looming decision to be made. Like, you don't want to take Poole out of the starting lineup. You know, there's a lot of times we were like, Wiggins might be the guy to pull. That's just like an outrageous thought to have now because, I mean, Andrew Wiggins played 44 minutes tonight. And like the four, like Steve Kerr.
Did he get the 44?
44.
Jeez.
I mean, he's absolutely necessary to have defensively on Tatum and Brown. You can't not have that big wing out there. 16 rebounds, career high. By the way, did not have a rebound in the first quarter, so he went in the second, third, fourth quarter, five rebounds, six rebounds. This is a guy, you know, I asked him about it postgame, but he averages 4.4 rebounds for his career. He's had some years, or he's a, you know, starting huge 6'8" bouncy wing, and he averaged like 3.8 rebounds per game at one point in his career. Never more than 5.2. In these playoffs, he's at 7.3.
Give you a good answer when you ask him, what's clicked for you? What's clicked for him?
Yeah, he said, I want to win. I want to win. It was a good answer. It was. And I mean,
I was walking with him to the media room, and it was crazy because he was so animated, and he was just like, you know, first he was like, that was so intense. I was like, did you really just grab 16 rebounds in the NBA Finals game? He was like, I want to win. Like, I want to win. We're so close. We're right there. I want to win. Like, he was hyped. And then he got on the mic and was like,
I want to win.
But he, like, You can tell Wiggins is like, oh, this is my shot here, right? He's got that vibe, like, this is my chance. Well,
to me, he's already seen so many points with this Warriors experience for him where his reputation is shifting and probably future earnings shifting where, you know, the all-star starter thing, obviously the winning thing, but, like, imagine a ring. Imagine Andrew Wiggins, NBA champion. Like, that's a whole.
Especially doing the things, the winning things, yeah, right? Yeah. Where the things where his reputation was being a scorer who couldn't win and a losing player. And now he's basically learning how to win and all the little things that win.
All right, Jimmy Butler, let's go play some 5-on-5 now, Jimmy Butler. Let's see what happens there. Although I've heard it, Jimmy Butler was not likes Wiggins. Kind of, yeah, I'm sure he didn't love Wiggins in that format, but it was
Iguodala was, yeah, said that towns, that, Jimmy told them. That Jimmy was like, yeah, Jimmy told him you'll like down. Wiggins, yeah.
But yeah, incredible for his reputation, but he deserves every bit of it. He is an essential player, and he made shots tonight. Like, you know, I think he's been playing fine. He just hadn't made some shots. Tonight he made shots. Tonight he made some huge shots.
Two big early threes, and then late, to me, one of the biggest plays of the game. They're down 94-90 with 5 minutes left. It's actually just ticked under 5 minutes, and they have a missed shot. You know, it's like teetering. Down four with 5 minutes left, you're like, every single bucket swing feels so big. And he just overpowers Marcus Smart on the backside for, you know, one of those kind of like, you know, it's like pogo stick where he rebounds and then he jumps right back up. And because it was a, you know, beat Smart for the rebound, jump right back up after he caught it, he beats, you know, Robert Williams is coming over for the shot block. And he has 50 offensive rebounds in these playoffs. I know I've said this stat before, but, you know, Looney's number one in the playoffs, 56 offensive rebounds. Andrew Wiggins number two in the entire NBA in offensive rebounds in the playoffs. Like, where did that come from?
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is meme mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, it's wild. I do feel like, you know, it's like a well, right? It's when you play with Steph and Clay and Jordan Poole, like there's a lot of long rebound. You just got to know how to rebound, right? You got to know how to get to the ball. I do feel like, it's an ability. You know what I'm saying? Like hey, I understand Steph's game. I know where he's coming off screens and all that and reading it well. Looney does that well. But I also think because the floor is so spread, there's lanes to go. If you want the rebound, you just go get it. You know who had a few big rebounds? I don't know how many he had, but there were some big rebounds. Was Gary Payton. He came in like
late big ones. Yeah, absolutely.
He's getting up there. You're like, yo, who is that? Oh, that's GP. Yeah. Like he was getting up pretty high. If you the floor spread because they're small, they don't have a lumbering big man in the middle. If you pursue the boards, they're there to get. And I think Looney has figured out this is how I stay on the floor. This is how they can't pull me out. And Wiggins has figured out. Oh, they love people who do this. They love me if I do this.
Here we go. Not to make this a bash of Draymond Green, he just hasn't played well. But you know who has not had a big rebounding playoffs? And we're talking about just wanting it. That used to be who he was. And he'd go get it. I'm going to go get it when it has to be done. Has he had a 15-rebound performance? Has he had even like
– I think he's had a couple, but like, I mean, we've seen the stats all playoffs. They're too big. It's Looney and Wiggins. They've just dominated the glass for them all playoffs.
Steph got 10 tonight, right? I mean, he went in there and dug out 10. Now, Draymond had 9, I think, tonight, so I don't want to – hit him.
Draymond had four steals, by the way. Draymond had a few
assists. Like again, he did
really good in the fourth quarter. Yeah. Like when after he got benched and he came back in, he was under control. Yep. I thought one of the dagger three.
It was Curry on the wing where he kind of waited for him.
Yeah, it was one of them plays where it was like Draymond had been killing the offense, but in that moment he kind of saved it because he knew. Had number one to look for Curry when he stuck at the free throw line, but then also that little chemistry they have where it's like you dupe Derek White. Yeah,
I think you're gonna be. Yeah.
And it works, right? It worked perfectly, and Steph gets a look, and that's ball game. It was one of it was definitely him. Like if we saw Looney try to do that, and he threw it out of bounds, right?
Yeah. So the third person I wrote about tonight, Poole. I mean, this was Poole's best game in the series easily. You know, it's been tough for him to solve Boston's defense because they have Derek White, they have Marcus Smart point of attack, which is better than anybody he's obviously facing these playoffs. Robert Williams on the backside has been unbelievable. Although his status, you know, he hurt his knee late, asked out, didn't come back. And that'll be interesting in the next few days. But
he always looks
limping. Yeah, he's just it's just like limps everywhere and then blocks every shot. But Poole had 10 in his first 7 minutes, and I thought he was deferential in game three. He only took one shot in his first 10 minutes on the floor, and it was just kind of passing, getting off. It looked a little bit like the stage seemed a little bit frightening at that moment. To me tonight, really big start of the second quarter. He hits 2 threes. Remember, they were playing this like defensive. It was Steph's on the bench for like 4 or 5 minutes, and it was just like basically 0-0 for like the first 2.5 minutes of the Bielitsa. Quarter. Bielitsa, yep.
Who can guard Jason Tatum? I guess it's unbelievable.
Bielitsa picked Jaylen Brown. Was it Jaylen Brown or Tatum who he picked near center court? Then he goes and misses the layup. Yeah, but
I think it was
Brown.
I think it was kind of a fumble, but still, they did it because he was guarding him. But no, they had the defensive struggle, and he hit the 2 threes. They're up 6-0 in the second quarter.
Yeah.
That was big, really big.
Yeah, and then they actually go plus two there without Steph in that pocket. And then as you asked Steve about postgame, you wondered, are you just going to play Steph the full fourth? And he puts him on the bench, and, I mean, this is, again, season on the line. Like
on the line,
yeah,
yo.
Yeah, and it's like if they go – let's say they lose that little – it ended up being about 2.5 minutes or so with Steph on the bench. If they lose that pocket 10-4, let's say, go -6, and then end up losing the game – that's the big criticism probably of Kerr postgame. So that's a lot of responsibility for Poole because as we've seen, like, they're good without Curry. If Poole's good, they're bad without Curry if Poole's bad. And, you know, first minute of that fourth quarter, he steps into a mid-ranger. It's patient. He curls off. Robert Wood.
He looks so smooth and calm.
It's what he hadn't been early in the series. And, they didn't explode in that pocket. They ended up going -3, but, you know, they didn't make it so he had to rush Curry back. And it's a 2-point game when Steph comes back, and that's because Poole had a couple, you know, nice buckets. I don't know what he ended up with, but, like, he was really important.
He played some D, too. I mean, you know, not great D, but he, like, got beat, recovers, knocks the ball out of bounds.
Good deflection on the long pass.
Exactly. So, like, I think, you know, I noted, like, every time we asked about Poole's offense, last game Kerr said it's going to start with defense. Like, we get in a transition, it's better for everybody. And I think he meant it's Poole's defense. Like, he's just got to battle on that side. That's all they've ever asked. And he battled tonight. Like, he was ready for it. Hey, it was his first finals road game last game. you thought maybe he'd gone through enough playoff experience that he it wouldn't be that big a deal. But it was a big deal, and we all know it was incredible. Game three was the emotion, the power of what the Celtics were doing, feeding off the crowd. And I think he took a couple steps backwards, just physically. My God. But tonight, that wasn't happening. And the crowd wasn't quite the same. I mean, I was sitting way, way behind, not in the middle of it. But I did not feel that from the crowd tonight.
I thought the crowd was incredible. Now, it's like a tough, you know, if the other team's playing better, it's tougher to be into it. But, like, there was a few moments. Like, remember when Tatum went diving into the bench? Yeah. Like, you don't usually see crowd, like, they lit they up. And it was like, he didn't, it was like kind of a fake hustle play. But I'm like,
fake hustle for real.
Yeah.
He's running. He's making the face. Ball's out of bounds. He's diving.
But that's where you can see, like, what this crowd can be. Because I just don't feel like a lot of crowds will lift up that moment like they did. We should probably – Clay played well too. I've already had a few people under the story say I didn't give Clay enough love. But, you know, he hit a big three, pretty good defensively. I mean, like, he missed some shots too. He missed some open threes. But we should probably just go back to Steph. Just kind of close out the pod.
Can he do this the rest of the way? Like, something like this? Like, that's quite – like, maybe I mean, you figure the chase game's going to be easier than anything that he dealt with here. He was incredible. I don't think they can think about that, though. They have to be more balanced. They have to. And that they get something like this from Steph again, all the better. But I don't think they can say, okay, we're going to go win game five. Steph's going to do that. And then we're going to come back and win game six because Steph's going to. Like, it's a little bit too much to ask. It was incredible. But I mean, we've seen guys like Jimmy Butler runs out of gas. Like that happens sometimes. But it was amazing to see, though.
So, I mean, two nights ago we're in here. They've lost 2-1. They were physically overwhelmed. Steph was great, but clearly didn't have enough help. And then Steph gets the foot injury. And the way he was limping off the stage, you figured, you know, he's probably going to try to power through and play it. But at that point, late night when we were here a couple nights ago, I kind of thought the series was heading towards potentially an end because I just didn't – you didn't know how limited he'd be. Now, over the next 48 hours, I think, you know, come into practice and hearing him talk and say he's playing for sure. Come into shoot around this morning where he's on the court getting shots up. You know, if it was so bad, they would have just been like, stay off it as long as possible, basically. Pre-game, he's doing his, you know, normal pre-game routine. It seems pretty clear that the injury was more frightening than impactful. I mean, he looked like himself, obviously, physically tonight. And then, to me, the first quarter, I mean, we were sitting there. The way they go up 23-18, and he's yelling at the Boston crowd after he hits two threes.
Yelling right at you guys.
Basically, it was in our direction, but it was like, right then, I was like, whoa, you know, this is a different version of, like, a locked-in Steph Curry. Not that he hasn't been, but have you ever seen him in a first quarter do that?
Nah, that's what I wrote about. Never. I mean, they were up five.
Yeah,
and he made two in a row, right? It felt like
that was like maybe a little dance, a little shimmy, and then walked to the bench.
It was like all right, I'm here, but I do think as Draymond said, like you could see it after game three. Number one, I just think he hates when he has an injury and everybody's asking about it and talking about it. Like he hates it. He hates being the weakling who is hurt and. Like, it just feeds into his whole, I'm not soft.
Well, how about, remember practice yesterday? He comes in, it's like the camera's clicking, like, everyone, it's like, is he limping? You know, everyone's got their phones out, and it was like, obviously, like, every question was about his foot, and like, you know, so what you're saying is right. And you could tell he was defiant in like, I'm going to play. Yeah. I don't know much about the injury, I'm playing. Okay, so stop. Like, I'm playing.
He hates
I don't even think the Warriors, they're probably like, well, we wouldn't mind listening to you. It's questionable. Like, making the Celtics think about some things. He's like, no, I'm playing.
Nah, he has this thing about being seen as soft, and he don't want the injury. He still won't talk about his knee from 2016, right? Like, he hates that stuff. But and I also think he really wanted to end that narrative. Like, nope, you're not going to get me. You're not going to say I'm hobbling. You're not going to say I can't handle it. You're not going to say they're too tough for me or they're too physical. I tried to get him to complain about the refs. He wouldn't do it. But, you know, what I wrote was, like, him yelling in the first quarter was like, okay, I'm here. you guys have to.
I'm back. Well, that was 2016.
That was also fourth quarter, too, right?
Like overtime.
Yeah, yeah.
Overtime.
So it was like. that in the first quarter was like, you're going to have to deal with me all night.
Right in front of their bench, yes. By the way. I know it was in our section, but that was like right next
he
to
he walked bench. All the way. Like, he across, walked yeah. away from the bench during the time.
Was Warriors fans over there or something? That's like,
No. There's a Celtics fan. Yeah, there's a back view of it where it's like yeah. Celtics fans looking Jeez, at him like
I
yelling.
I wonder what all. He was doing. Like, either he's yelling at Marcus or there's Warriors fans or something. I didn't know.
Like, turn your phone off.
Don't blame the kid. Don't blame the kid.
By the way, you and him are having quite a series on the podium. Goodness,
we are.
The camera operators love it because like anytime he's talking, the expressions on his face.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's funny you say that. I remember because he was really laughing. He was really proud of himself for the phone joke he made to you the other day.
He was very proud. Yeah.
At the end of like this like terse press conference kind of, he was really like proud. And he was giggling and yeah, you heard the cameras. Like, oh, we can get him happy. Anyway,
Justin Bieber walked by or something. It was like paparazzi going crazy.
Everybody's loving everything. Like the NBA account is tweeting out like the interactions between you two. It's
yeah,
like,
they're really hype.
You get a lot of money for that, I think, right? You're probably getting some percentage.
Not at all. He should probably acknowledge the fact that I keep him at ease for these games. You know, keep him in this vibe, in this element. You know what I'm saying?
Like you and your phone.
Yeah, that you know. This is a long history of press conference needling, so we got to keep it going for the sake of golden.
All right, in my opinion, the series is game five. That's usually the case. This isn't some like awesome take by me, but I just this is gonna be a very difficult game for the Warriors. I know they come back with momentum. I mean the expectation is. I mean, I bet Vegas probably nudges them back to slight favorites 2-2 with home court, but man, they're going to need a lot in that game.
Yeah, the benefit for them is, you know, you feel like Poole, Clay, you know, Wiggins, they make shots at home, right? And that's what they need, is they need other people to score. This Celtics defense is so tough. When you get open shots, you got to hit them. Like, you just have to. And, you know, at home, they just got to hit those shots. And, you know, you got a better chance to. Did Otto Porter hit a shot?
I don't think so. Not a real shot.
Yeah, Otto Porter makes shots at Chase, right? Like, Jordan Poole makes shots at Chase. So, it's like, you get that. I mean, it felt like a long time ago, that part of the series. But, what, 7 out of the 8 quarters, they looked really well, right, at Chase? Maybe 6?
Yeah, I'd say 6. There was, like, game one. The fourth was obviously, like, their worst quarter ever. But game two – or I think the second quarter of game one wasn't good either. But when they actually went in a half down, I was like, how are they down?
That's right, yeah. After this – yeah, so I just feel like they've got – you know, whereas Poole was having a tough time here – you know, Clay, you know, what was he, 7 for 17 tonight?
Clay was better in the Boston game, though, because he wasn't good in the...
Nah, he wasn't, yeah.
10 of 33.
Draymond should probably be better.
I remember we went into this thinking the Celtics might be getting fatigued. They played 2 more games. They were coming off the 7-game series, off another 7-game series. And people got mad at me when Marcus Smart didn't look great, but he wasn't running back on defense. Like
he
I
had
didn't
that one, and they called Poole for the loose ball foul. But remember when he crashed hard?
There's something that was going on with him. Again, people get really mad when you say that, but it's like he scored points, but it wasn't the same mark. Like this game three, he was just running into people. It was unbelievable the force he was playing with. Robert Williams, like, there's a chance, you don't never know, but they might be wearing down a little bit. Like, this has been a long haul for them.
I mean, if they're not, it's some epic toughness, right?
It's like, this is so many games they've played, in a row, with the Warriors have had these, 6 days off.
They went 7-7. Their last 2 series were 7-7. And I would say about Robert Williams, he really, by the end of the Miami series, game 6, he had to be pulled. Game 7, he played like 15 minutes.
They might be running up on that. And again, the Warriors have said stuff with the foot. Obviously, there's all kinds of issues. But I think this might be what we were thinking. Like, you forget what you think going into a series because it all changes. But I was thinking, like, okay, weren't we thinking that this, if the Warriors got a lead, the Celtics might really start wearing down, and maybe that shows up in game five. That's where it would start to show up, on the road, with the Warriors winning this huge momentum-building game in Boston. Let's see what they have energy-wise. I mean, Tatum is just expending so much energy out there. Brown is expending so much energy out there. So is Steph, but so is Wiggins. But they played two fewer games and they have much more rest. Maybe that's the main advantage the Warriors have going in, just physically.
We might have seen that in the fourth quarter tonight. Yeah. I think they did. They were just chucking threes.
Yeah, they were petered out. And like they're just kind of dribbling around. All of a sudden, the shot clock's coming. Like they did nothing, and then all of a sudden, the shot clock. Like wait a minute, you got to do something.
I believe I saw Jason Tatum was shooting 34% in this series. Like that to me, the way what Steph just did here, to me, that's like the way like Tatum has to have a game. Like if Tatum is, you know, the star that's going to be 1A on a title team. I mean, maybe he doesn't have to. Jaylen Brown could just have a big game and probably win Finals MVP if Jaylen Brown does. But
he's been their best player.
Yeah, Tatum shooting 34% in this series.
Yep. He's being guarded great by Andrew Wiggins. I mean, it's just been amazing. And Brown's making some ridiculous shots, like incredible shots. Like, you know, over Draymond, full extended, leaning back, boom.
Oh, it's one of his, like, the lefty scoop today.
Oh, yeah,
like,
it's just – he's been fantastic. So I bet you he's got energy still, but some of those. I mean, it's been a long road. They've fought through a lot of tough stuff, and maybe that they're a little bit slower than the Warriors, and they've got to go on the road. They know they got to win two. Well, they don't have to win two. If they win Game Five, they can win Game Six, but they might have to win one or they got to win one or the other, five or seven. That's a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff on their minds, and they have never won before, and the Warriors have.
Yeah, I mean, you got to remember though with the Celtics, I believe 8-3 on the road in the playoffs might be the number.
Yeah, was 7-2, yeah. 8-2, 8-3.
Also, yeah. Monster Game 6 win in Milwaukee, monster Game 7 win in Miami. This is, you know, Game 5 in the finals against the Warriors and Chase is different.
7-0 after a loss. 7-0 after
a
loss.
It's really good. It's a really good number. But hey, the Warriors were 9-0 at home before they lost to the Celtics. So like these runs can end. They can be upended. You're playing the best two teams in the league. I don't think there's a question about that. So a lot of these numbers are like they weren't against that team.
Yeah.
And this is against that team for both sides. This is a whole other level. But gonna be great Game 5. I'm looking forward to it.
I mean, what 2-2 does is all you just need now is one great game from somebody, right? Like that.
Either side?
Now it's you don't have to do it for it. Now it's just so it doesn't matter how poorly you've played. It doesn't matter if Klay gives them one game.
Well, this is Klay, right? Yeah. You know, we're getting to the Klay portion of the series, aren't we?
Yeah, like, right? One good game. Nothing else matters. You get one good game from Jordan Poole, one good game from Draymond Green. Like that tilts an entire series. That's what 2-2 does. It puts you in that spot. And
like Harrison Barnes in 26. Oh, wait a minute! It might be the opposite.
I have a question for you, and this is probably more of a discussion point after the next podcast. But what are the over under on first quarter shot attempts for Klay in Game 6 back here? I mean, he is like he is gonna try to summon that thing early. He's
five.
Gonna be checking.
Five
in the first
five
quarter?
Threes in the first
oh, five threes. Threes. Yeah, it's gonna be like eight shots, and he might make a lot of them too. Like I don't put nothing against that guy. But yeah, that's a lot of stuff coming up, a lot of things going on. But that's why these are huge games. That's why these huge moments, and the Warriors don't screw them up, and they won their 27th straight road series where they won a road game. That is a monster number.
Monday night in Chase Center, we will talk to you Game 5 of the NBA Finals.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.